9:48, and welcome back to the Sundance Reel. I'm Leslie Thatcher, along with Linda Jager. Well, what is a country's gross national happiness, and how do you measure it? In the film Happiness, director Thomas Balmes takes us to the last frontier of no media to find out. He joins us now in the studio. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning.
So the name of the film, Happiness, it's in the World Documentary Competition. Maybe you can describe it a lot better than I just did.
Okay. Well, in 1998, the King of Bhutan just legalized television and internet for the very first time, in the same time that he would stop being the king and just like bring up democracy to the country. And little by little, the whole country just like got connected. Unlike a few villages, and I decided to do a film about one of the last village of Bhutan called Laya, which is at standing at 4,000 meters high, close to the Tibetan border, where 900 people live. And until very recently, you had to walk 2 days to reach the place. They had no roads, no electricity, no connection to the outside world. And I've been waiting with them until this last month for them to be connected and being able, like the rest of the country, to watch TV.
What type of changes did you notice immediately?
Well, the film stops, in fact, when they just turn on the button and start watching TV. So
okay.
We don't follow really the effect that I think we all know a little bit the effect of television, I hope. But it's more about, you know, I had like two choices. I wanted to do a film about television, and for a while I was thinking of doing it in America, where people are watching like the longest rates of television in the world. And then I felt it was maybe more interesting to go in a place where there was no TV and just like see the expectations and the willing to watch TV and just let the people think. So I'm trying to do more open films where people are busy working a little bit also. I'm not trying to bring them so obviously to what they should think. I think television is one of the less studied issue by filmmakers, maybe because we are funded most of the time by television. When everybody is like busy dealing with ecological issues or like any kind of issues like that, which are obvious, when I think that television is very, very unusually questioned, and I think it's one of the most damaging potential thing ever in terms of like impacting on the life of people and especially the young generations. I myself have three kids. We don't have television. And I'm regularly questioned about why can't we have television? And this film is a little bit a kind of answer I tried to do for them.
Now, you focused on an 8-year-old boy telling the story. How did you find him?
Well, I just arrived in the village trying to find a main character. The more it goes, the more I'm really trying. I'm doing the kind of opposite work of a journalist, you know, trying to have an... If I want to do something on TV, I just don't want to come up with my preconceived ideas and trying to have reality filling up in and to fill up my ideas and just like illustrate these ideas. What I'm trying to do is find a very simple human story, and through this human story I have just a few glimpse of the concerns or the subjects coming up on the background. So to do that you need to have a very strong character and something very visual too. And this young boy was, when I met him, full of energy. He was, in the same time, happy, sad, very moving, and his life and his brain was full of different things. I felt a little bit like watching Jean-Pierre Léaud from the 400 Blows from Jean-Pierre Truffaut, from François Truffaut. You know, have you seen this film from the 60s, a French film? A kind of boy where I was never being bored watching him doing whatever. So it was like... very obvious and very quickly a choice for me as a main character. And then when you have your character and you have your background story of TV potentially arriving, you just go there over months and months and years, which is what I'm doing, you know. I've done the same thing previously in another documentary called Babies, where I've been following like four babies all over the world, also in the different kind of relationship they had with technology, from no technology at all in Africa to a hyper-technological environment in Japan. And this film is a little bit the sequel, you know. It's a kind of like dealing with the same issue of like potential impact of technology on people's lives.
Are you thinking of going back and seeing as it's been implemented? It is one of the happiest places on earth, correct?
Right. There's some study that that measured happening in Bhutan was like one of them. I don't know what they asked people, but
Well, at least it's a big concern. They really have a minister of happiness and someone who is really dealing with all these issues, and they are like really, really concerned about any ecological issues and all that. So, I mean, they're thinking about it now. In terms of reality, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's like marketing things or whatever. I'm more thinking that Nordic, Scandinavian countries in Europe are maybe dealing in a better way in terms of like equality in between men and women, in terms of education, in terms of health system and all that. I think most of the Nordic countries might be the happiest place in the world. But at least they're really concerned about all these issues. And even the impact of television is really studied and analyzed by some politicians. And they realize that like having from one day to another, the whole generation of kids watching 12 hours, if not more, of American wrestling match on television, which is what they do, might not be of the best effect on the on the society.
Now, you mentioned your kids. Has this movie helped explain to them your decision not to have a television? Have you seen it?
Well, my kids watched the film for the premiere of the film in Amsterdam a few weeks ago in the Netherlands. And at the end of the film, you have like the film ends by the people for the very first time watching TV. And there's like very long shots of the faces of these people who had never seen anything like that and look like zombie almost, you know, like they're mesmerized. And my daughter, who is 10 years old, told me, "Do we look the same when we watch a film?" And I told her exactly, you know, this is exactly how you look. And since then, she's trying to change her attitude once in a while when we watch something on a big screen. We don't have television, but I'm really keen on images and documentaries and fictions and all that. I'm really concerned about like how TV evolved in the last 10 years with all this reality TV and all these things which are like, I think, potentially really destroying the capacity of the kids to just concentrate, you know, the pace of everything which is being produced nowadays, even fiction or documentaries or whatever TV program, is so quick that this is affecting their ability to just concentrate on anything else, which doesn't have the same pace. You know, my parents are both teachers, and they could see over the last 20 years the capacity of the students just shrinking in the same way the pace of the images which are edited on all these TV programs shrunk. You know, when I was younger, I was watching TV, you had like maybe 10 seconds cut in a program. Now it's like sometimes less than a second. It's a few frames, you know. And when you're like having people watching things over and over for such long time, this is just changing their brain capacity to concentrate on a sentence that someone might tell them later on. And this is very unusually studied and analyzed when I think this is amazingly dangerous.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly the choice, though, not to let your children watch TV. But in terms of technology, I mean, really, there's no going back. I mean, at least here, every kid has a computer, and that's how homework is turned in, and that's how grades are checked, and that's where reading assignments come from. So,
But at least what I find amazing is like how little education on all this technology is being provided to them in school. You know, they should be talked about what is news, how it is made, and how what it means to edit two cuts together, what is related to TV. I mean, they should be educated to all this new media, and I don't think there are that much. It's so new, and it took so much space in people's lives that I think politicians who are doing like educational programs don't realize that in the same way that they should learn mathematics and French or American language or whatever, they should also be educated to media and to all that. And the addiction to all these screens, and it's not only television, as you say here, it's like everything. It's like a smartphone and all that. I think it's super scary. It's just like, I think it's too late to get back, but at least there should be some thinking about it.
So I noticed that it's a world documentary. You're French, but what's the Finland connection?
Well, Finland is one of the co-producers only. It's like a big international cooperation with PBS, ITVS, BBC. I mean, we have like 15 countries, Japanese, like all over the world. And Finland is one of the main partners. I'm working a lot with Nordic countries who are very in advance in terms of like feature documentary production.
Yeah, and for us here in America, I mean, the place that we're going to see it is on PBS on television.
It's,
so
it's going to be on independent lens. Sure. Yeah, I mean, my idea is not to ban television. It's just, I think, to, in the same way, no one would ever think of like having anyone teaching their kids in school, coming out of the street. Okay, come and be the teacher. You know, you have some kind of degree, you have some kind of education, you have some kind of qualification to be having that much space in your kid's life. Who has kind of the slightest qualification to produce content for television all over the world? And this kind of lack of concern of like who is producing the content, which are going to take so much space compared to the school in all this head of the kids all over the world, might be questionable, I think. I always feel like the kind of like way we are going lower and lower in terms of content is problematic for many countries.
All right. Well, Happiness, when's your next screening?
Today, 3 p.m., Egyptian Theater.
Okay. Great. Well, pleasure to meet you. And it's Thomas Balmes? Is that
Balmes.
Balmes. Pleasure to meet you and good
Thank
luck
you.
With the film.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longreimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-LAW.com. Brett Stimson, Mortgage Assistant for Home Purchases, 801-201-3484, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.